Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Last night, the Golden State Warriors became the first team in NBA history to win 65 games in three consecutive seasons. Hell, man. 65 wins? That's only happened 19 times. 16 times until the Warriors started this recent run, and then they knocked off 1, 2, 3 to put the total at 19. Of the previous 18, 14 went on to win the title. I mean, this is that moment where every day you try to come in with some nuggets, some notes, some angles, some things to talk about, to enlighten, to inform, to educate, to entertain. Really, this is just reflection. There's not much to say about last night's game. Steph was awesome. They won. It's on the Kevin Durant Saturday night, but 65 wins. You woke up this morning and there was that little Z next to their name in the standings. Number one seed.
Dicks. XYZ. And it's funny you put that out there with the Z, because I remember the old days when you had to get the box score out in the morning. You had to check the standings.
Yeah.
And you always waited for the X, knowing that they qualified. And then you wait for the Y, that they clinch their division or their league. And then the Z, where they clinch the conference and they had the overall. And now the Warriors this morning with that XYZ. And you mentioned it, three straight years, 65 straight victories. And the thing about yesterday that really was surprising, and I didn't even realize it until I looked at the box score this morning, two players in double figures. When was the last time a team had 120 points and only two players scored in double figures? I think they had one player with 9 and four players with 8 last night. But that just shows you how remarkable the Splash Brothers are, the two guys who've really been at the heart of it, these 65-plus win seasons. The two of them shot more than 50% of the shots yesterday, and it was enough to beat a game Phoenix team.
Or, hot take alert,
uh-oh,
are the Warriors in trouble that they only have two guys they can rely on to score?
Yeah, that is pretty hot, Joe.
What do you feel like right now compared to last year, compared to 2 years ago? Take yourself through the emotions. 2 years ago, the first run to the championship, it was just this fresh level of excitement and optimism. But I just remember there was that little tentative nature, remember?
Because
the year before, you lost in 7 to the Clippers. This was uncharted territory. Best team in the league. You're just sitting there thinking, oh my God, they could win the title. Last year, 73 wins. It was expected, and then it didn't come through. Where are you at right now? Is it like that cautious optimism? Like, yeah, it's a great regular season. We're enjoying it, but, you know, we don't want to overlook it. We don't want to get too excited. Like, what are you going through right now?
Well, the first year, Joe, everyone said, you can't win a championship without a big man. And I said, the way of the big man is out the door. The game has changed. And now we can see that the game has changed. The way of the big man, you need a good guy to get some, you know, but it's changed. It's totally changed. It's about shooting. It's about space. And it's about ball movement. So the first year we were like, okay, can they do it? They don't have necessarily a big man that's going to stay healthy. What's going to happen with Bogut and all those different things, because he's injured a lot. In the second year, you're like, okay, they're going to win a chance. They're going to win a championship. They got a chance. It's chasing 73. This year has been kind of that roller coaster, emotions up, and then KD go down. You're saying whatever. But right now, I think all fans, KD is just an added bonus. He's the guy that they brought in to help get them over the top and to keep him over the top, because if he comes back and he only averages 15 Joe a game and he plays defense because of his shot blocking ability and he gives us everything on defense with him and Dre, they win a championship. They can possibly win a championship without KD. So how am I feeling right now? It's championship or bust. If barring in injuries, this team, this organization, I really believe they believe it's championship or bust.
Dibs, emotionally, where are you at this year compared to last year at this time?
I'm probably in a more secure place, because last year, 73 wins was something that we had never seen ever in the history of the league, 73-9, and it felt like it was just going to be maybe not a cakewalk to the title, but it felt like it was a fait accompli. It was going to happen. It didn't happen, and I think it kind of jolted me to the fact that it really is two different seasons in the NBA. There's the regular season, which is an 82-game slog, but then it's a complete restart. 16 teams, and I saw something from Monty Poole today. Between now and the end of the NBA Finals would be 73 days. 73 days. Your postseason is 2 months long. So emotionally right now, you take the Z, as you mentioned. You've clinched the West. You put that aside, and you hope KD's ready to go. If KD is up and healthy enough and ready to compete, Lowe's right. It's championship or bust this year.
I know I've touched on this before, but I look at a nine-week-old son and just keep thinking, man, you have no idea. Like, your mom and dad weren't born here. You were born here. You were born right down the street from a lot of this. You have no idea what's happening around you. You were born on a night where, right before dad went in the operating room, he casually laid the 7.5 and covered. It was a victory. It was a good start to his life.
Yeah.
He's not going to know about that until later on. But and then it's just, he's, I don't have him facing the TV yet. That's a whole other story. But it's just, you look at this kid who's just barely trying to figure out how his arms and legs work, and you keep thinking to yourself, man, what is happening around you at this moment? Like, these are going to be stories that when you get older, well, let me tell you about the days of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. When this year completes, whether it's a championship or not, how much longer is this window open? And when I say window, I'm not talking about the ability to get to the playoffs. I'm talking about entering the season considered the favorite to win it all, or one of two or three favorites, like the cream of the crop. How much longer do we have of this? Because we should be enjoying every moment, soaking this in, not just saying, okay, you know, the season's over, let's get to the playoffs. Enjoy this. Enjoy the games like Phoenix, because we might only have it for how much longer, Lowe?
Well, Joe, that's a great question. I'm enjoying it because you won't get to see this again. I was fortunate enough to block, like I said, for Corey Dillon, Eddie George, some great running backs. But when I got to San Diego, and I blocked for number 21, who, you know, he made a living playing against the Raiders. Raider fans, they couldn't stand him.
They don't necessarily want to hear that.
But no, but when I walked through the parking lot, I can honestly say, Raider fans, they say, Lo, we hated you, but we loved watching. I mean, they hated, but they respected LaDainian and respected how he played the game. And I got the block for that guy. People, you've never seen a running back like he was like Steph Curry. I mean, you look at broke the single season touchdown record. He was like the Steph of the NFL as far as running backs. And you're saying, how long is this window? As long as KD and Steph and Draymond is here, next three years, because he's under contract next year, you know, so, and you got Klay still the year after, couple years after. This window's another 2 to 3 years. With that being said, people got to enjoy this ride. Think about it. The finals 2 years ago, won at NBA. Last year, went to the NBA Finals. This year, they seem like they're going to get back. And people need to enjoy this dynasty. That this could be a dynasty in the next 3 years. If they win 3 years in a row, that'd be 4 out of the 5 years. That is a dynasty. And winning 65 games each these years, no one's going to do that, Joe, especially now with the millennials and guys want to take nights off.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Great to have you in today on a show of shows. Not only is Dan Dibley back from Mexico, the Moose, Daryl Johnston, he won 3 rings. He's at 7:30. The D-Train, Dontrell Willis, he won a ring. He's at 8:05. We're pronouncing this Gerard Riche?
Something like that.
Oh, Jerry Rice. Oh, that's how you say it. Jerry Rice, he's got 3 rings. He was okay. He's at 8:30. Travis Schlenk, he's got a ring. He's at 8:45. Dave Stewart's got 3 rings. He's at 9:05. It's a day of rings. A day of rings here on 95.7 The Game. Baseball last night, from a local perspective, not exactly what we were looking for. The Giants fall in Arizona 8-6. Matt Moore gets roughed up. The A's get blanked 5-0. So we'll jump into both those games in a little bit. Unfortunate, but both teams have a chance to even up the series. Game 4 for both today and tonight. Today for the A's, tonight for the Giants. But there's a fascinating piece I want to talk about on ESPN right now. Essentially, ESPN conducted a poll. 6,000 fans, age 12 and above. And they asked you, who's your favorite American sports athlete? And they did a ranking, top 100. 3 baseball players made it in the top 50. Process that for a second. America's pastime, the sport that's been around the longest, the sport that in some way, shape, or form we've all played in some regard, has three individuals in the top 50 of the most popular American athletes. The kicker is who the three are. Derek Jeter, Babe Ruth,
Mike Trout,
and Pete Rose. Sorry, what? No Mike Trout, who won the MVP last year. Multiple MVPs. Wow. Should be extremely marketable. Derek Jeter's number 13. Babe Ruth is number 30. Pete Rose is number 50. Those three have combined to not play a game in 116 years. 116 years.
Wow.
Like, think about that. That was 1901, if you go back in time. The only active player, the earliest active player, number 51, Anthony Rizzo, first baseman, Chicago Cubs. I perceive this as a bit of a problem for Major League Baseball. You might not need to dominate the top 10, because let's be honest, football is very popular. When you think NBA, you think LeBron, you think Steph. When you think NFL, you've got Rodgers and Brady, right? The quarterback position. But for baseball, to have no active player in the top 50 strikes me as a bit alarming, Dish.
Sure. It's beyond alarming. I mean, it's stunning. The fact that Babe Ruth would command more recognition than Mike Trout, a guy who's alive, for one thing,
yeah,
and still playing, that to me is more than an alarm. That's a major problem for Major League Baseball.
Low. I mean, Babe Ruth, last he played, it was during the Depression. Not the 08 Depression. The Great Depression.
Gotcha.
Pre-World War II.
Isn't it amazing? It goes to show you sometimes how history, that good book, there's a man that keeps re-mentioning
636, there. Nicely done.
And he hasn't been around for over 2,000 years, but mentioned. And look, Babe Ruth, he, out of all the list, think about a guy who's been gone for a long time is still on the list. Just goes to show you when your baseball is in trouble, but sometimes those old guys, people in the back, they still have ring to it. And that's just amazing that a Babe Ruth is on a list. And he's not even living. Crazy.
Is this a marketing problem? Is it the unwritten rules problem? What's the issue here? Because we talked about this, Dibs, when you were in Mexico on Monday. I thought Major League Baseball was doing a huge disservice when it came to Madison Bumgarner. Kids gravitate to the supernatural. Steph hitting shots from half court resonates with children. It's why they go to see the game early. It's why anytime you go to a Warriors game, there are people lined up outside Oracle Tuesday night, 2.5 hours early. They want to go in and see the warm-up, the tunnel shot, right? Kids gravitate towards the supernatural. Bumgarner isn't just a great pitcher, but the fact that the guy rakes is just such an anomaly. It's so unique. Kids can gravitate towards that. Yet outside of this area, do you ever see him in any national ads?
No. And I think part of the problem for Bumgarner anyway is he only goes every fifth day. Yeah. So you don't have the regularity of a Mike Trout, for example, a guy who's going to be in the lineup every day and get his 4 to 5 at-bats a day. But you said something there about the unwritten rules of baseball. And I think that is in part a big problem because we have a situation where baseball players are not encouraged. Not only are they not encouraged, but they're discouraged from celebrating and showing personality when they do good things. Madison Bumgarner did something that I'm not sure has ever been done before by a starting pitcher on opening day to hit 2 home runs.
Has not been done.
Yet, was he out there celebrating? Was there a big press conference? Did it lead on SportsCenter? No, because, you know, the mode is to hit a home run, put your head down, go around the bases, don't show any emotion, don't show how great it was, what you just did. And younger people, especially these millennials we talk a lot about, they want to see some flash and some dash. And in baseball, you're not going to get that because the unwritten rules say that's not okay to do.
Time brings about change. And we know that. And it's crazy that the owners in baseball doesn't understand that. You have to realize a sport that was one of the last to sometimes integrate in a sport that wasn't really looked upon for men of color. Baseball, they had the Negro League and all the different things and had some great ball players there that people don't even know. It's a history that this no one really even knows about how good of those players were, but they wasn't allowed to play. And so people are like, well, where are you going with this, Lo? If time brings about a change, and if you can see the networks when you watch an NFL and you see after a guy scores a touchdown, Where does the camera go when Antonio Brown and all those guys? Why don't the camera flash off of them and go to the sideline? Why is it on them dancing and twisting and turning? People want to be entertained. Why is when you see basketball and those guys do these flash stuff and the camera's still on Steph, what does he do after he scores? You see him pound his chest or throw up the deuce, whatever, in the entertainment value. When you lose that and it's just, okay, boom, I'm going to be in a box. Okay, we got to keep this sport that way. You lose the youth. It's hell. It's hard for us, Joe, to watch 9 innings of baseball. You want a good game, but because if you don't have entertainment with all these phone devices and all the different things, reds, all the stuff that keeps you in, keep you going because things are going so fast, you lose these people. So baseball's losing it, and they don't get it. You're going to continue to lose people because you're not changing with the times. Kids and the millennials and other people, they want to be entertained.
Total catch 22, because if you celebrate like Bryce Harper and people gravitate towards you, you're not playing the game the right way.
Right.
If you play the game the right way like Mike Trout, nobody ever sees you because no one knows what you sound like, no one knows what you look like because you're never on TV. Trout plays it the right way according to baseball players, but how do you market that? Do you even know what he sounds like? We all know what Brady sounds like. We all know what Rodgers sounds like. Bryce Harper. He's a guy you can gravitate toward. Like Dib said, he's got flash, he's got pizzazz, but that's not how you're supposed to play the game. Total catch 22.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
When it comes to the Masters, I want to run something by you here. Tell me if this is a foreign ball rambling conspiracy theory, if there's something to this, but help me out. Dustin Johnson fell down some steps yesterday, injured his lower back. Not sure if he's going to play. Dibs, is there an update?
Yes, Sky Sports News has tweeted that Dustin Johnson expected to be fit for the first round of the Masters. He will tee it up. Dustin Johnson will be good to go for the bid for the green jacket, where he's the favorite and he's the hottest golfer on the planet right now.
Was the favorite. He was 11-2. Got hurt. Spieth and Rory slid ahead of him. He's right there still, but this injury has got people wondering what's going on. Now, let me take you through something and tell me where I'm at. Since last summer, Johnson has won the U.S. Open, the WGC Bridgestone Invitational, the BMW Championship, the Genesis Open, the WGC Mexico Championship, and WGC Dell Technologies Match Play, en route to becoming the number one player in the world. His last two trips to Augusta National, he has finished tied for sixth and tied for fourth at the Masters. He's in the best form of his career. He is the best golfer in the world. And coming into this week, he was considered to be the heavy favorite to win this tournament. In addition, the night before the biggest day of his year, he falls down the steps and injures his lower back. If you actually got hurt falling down the steps as a professional athlete, don't give me that golfers aren't athletes. Have you ever seen Dustin Johnson? Guy's in good shape. He's an athlete. If you actually hurt yourself the night before the Masters as the favorite with the entire world's eyes on you, why would you tell people you fell down the steps and injured your lower back? Why wouldn't you say, I was out on the range and I felt something? I woke up and I felt something. No one would doubt that at all. People would say, man, that's a tough beat, but I know what that's like. I've woken up certain mornings and there's been pain. DJ's an athlete. He's been through some injuries before. That sucks. Hopefully he can come through it. Why would you tell people and admit to the public, yeah, I fell down the steps? Can anyone in this room or our production room, driving around, listening at home, in the office, wherever you may be, remember the last time you fell down some steps?
I've never fallen down steps, Joe. I was pushed down some stairs once. But
really?
Yeah, my sister.
Sounds harrowing. Hurricane Gail?
Yes. I think you know her from such things as... I believe it was 1972, Joe. It was around Christmas time, and I was on my tricycle on the back deck, and she pushed me down the stairs.
Pushed you down the stairs of the back deck?
Yeah, about three or four steps down into a rocky landing. I landed on my head, and I needed over 100 stitches.
Over 100?
Yeah, they had to stitch my skull basically back together. This was Gail's bid to be the youngest child again, because I'm the fourth of four. She was the third of three until the captain mistake came along. So I was pushed down the stairs. And additionally, I have a friend of mine about 3 years ago. She fell down the stairs and she broke her wrist and got a concussion. You describing Dustin Johnson and his stair activity had me thinking, when you fall down the stairs, normally you walk downstairs which way? Frontward or backward?
Frontward.
Correct. So and normally,
maybe that's just me.
Normally when you fall down the stairs low, you fall which direction?
Face down.
You
face
fall
forward.
Yep. On your hands. So if Dustin Johnson were to fall downstairs, the most likely injuries would be a head injury, a broken wrist, perhaps a chest injury if you didn't get your hands down in time. So you got me thinking that maybe this is a dubious tale here.
Just why would you admit it? It's the day before the Masters. If I fell down the steps, the people who are close to me, I'd be like, look, we need a better story than this. I can't go into the Masters as the favorite and have everyone thinking I fell down some steps like a buffoon. I think falling down the steps is like Brandon Marshall saying, oh, I slipped on a McDonald's bag. Who slips on a McDonald's bag? It's so crazy that you're so focused on how it could happen, you don't think if it actually happened. Am I crazy with this conspiracy theory, Lo?
No, and the closest I've came, you know, I've had carpet on the steps and waking up and tired, and I slip, you catch your balance, if I've fallen, maybe I'll sit on my, being an athlete, maybe I'll just sit on my butt.
Right, but that would be described as a slip. I slipped down the steps,
yes.
Not fell.
Right.
That's why,
yes.
If you injured your lower back, the way Dibs is breaking it down, he would say, I slipped down the steps and went backwards.
Right.
Like
you're
saying.
Exactly, because you don't want to necessarily fall forward. As an athlete, okay, boom, okay, I'll just sit down. I'll slip down, sit on my butt, my keister. So it's just interesting, but I've never fell downstairs, Joe. I fell down in a hole. My brother, when I was five, my dad dug a deep hole with his back hole, and my brother pushed me in it.
Big Ed pushed you in the hole?
Big Ed pushed me in the hole. Dibs landed on my stomach, my belly. I couldn't breathe for probably like 3 minutes. I thought I was going to die.
If you couldn't breathe for 3 minutes, you probably would have died.
Yeah, but I can hold my breath for a long time.
But who holds their breath when they get pushed into a hole?
I didn't mean to. I just had to. When you're 7 years old, it feels like it could have been 3 weeks how long I had to.
This sounds suspicious. Forget Dustin Johnson. This whole thing sounds suspicious.
No, and the thing about it, I remember like yesterday because I was eating a sandwich.
What?
Yeah,
what kind of sandwich?
It was a pork chop sandwich. That's what's crazy.
A pork chop sandwich.
Joe, black people eat pork chops and make it in a sandwich.
That's
okay?
Not what I was getting at. Just the fact that you remember the sandwich you were having before you were
old,
shoved in the hole.
And it was on it was on rainbow bread, the white bread. I remember like yesterday. I had a little bit of hot sauce on it.
Sure.
How old are you?
46.
No. When you got shoved in the hole.
Seven. He was seven.
6 or 7 years old, yeah. Joe, and
it's
I
good
remember
memory.
And I remember going down. It's like kind of like the Titanic. I know I'm going down. It's not
the Titanic took like 4 hours to sink. You probably hit that hole in 2 seconds.
Probably, yeah.
And then held your breath for 3 minutes, apparently.
And boom, and I'm like, I remember just looking like, someone help me. So, yeah, so I fell down, but I fell into a hole, Jonas.
You were shoved into a hole.
Yeah, I was shoved into it.
How'd you get out?
Well, since when you use the backhoe and you dig a hole, Joe, usually when the scoop is coming up, it kind of leads a little trail up so you can kind of climb up. You know what I'm saying, Dibs?
Yeah, a little walking path.
Yeah, a little walking path. You got to crawl. And I was just down there just like, wow, this did not just happen to me.
Well, what'd you do when you came out? Did you tell Big Glenn your father or your mother?
No, my brother said, please don't tell. And I knew because if he told, Big Glenn would have took him to the woodshed.
He shoved you in a hole.
And I did him a favor.
What happened to the sandwich?
The sandwich was so dirty. I was so mad. I took the bread off the sandwich, and I still ate the pork chop.
I was going to say, there's no way that sandwich went uneaten.
Country living, right?
Six of us in the family, Joe. I had six brothers and sisters. I wasn't letting that pork chop go. I had to eat the pork chop.
That's you know, real life right there.
That's real life, man.
Real life.
That's real life in Lemoore.
Wow, we got calls on this? I didn't even throw out the number. Adam on the 680. Dustin Johnson, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, Adam. What's going on?
Hold on. Let me think. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Go ahead.
Good. Yeah, that's good. So a little more info on this. I watch a lot of Golf Channel, which is kind of scary. But so evidently he was coming down the stairs in his socks. And so he didn't trip down the stairs. His foot slipped out from under him. And a secondary thing, evidently, is that it's not just his back. He smashes elbows pretty bad, too. So that's kind of a little more info on the falling down the stairs. It was actually slipping down the stairs and falling backwards.
Appreciate the phone call. Thank you for the insight. Casey and Novato on Dustin Johnson. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let's pretend that guy who just called in didn't call in, so he took 100% of my thunder. You got to take in consideration walking down the stairs in socks, especially if you're over the, if you have bigger feet than, let's say, size 10, the heel's going to be hitting on the stairs. And I don't want to bring this up, but he does like a little nose coke. So it could be one.
Well, we appreciate the call. He's moved past that, apparently. I know there are some of those theories out there, but he's cleaned himself up. He deserves the benefit of the doubt in that regard.
If you are walking down hardwood stairs in socks, then you've got problems with your intellect, because socks on the hardwood floor are the scourge of not only America, Joe, but the world. Very dangerous. I tore my rotator cuff horsing around in socks on a hardwood
socks
floor.
Socks to do it. Walking down them stairs, or even on carpet, Joe. I slipped a little bit.
You do realize that this guy's entire career is the ability to stand about 180 yards away from something and take a little ball and put it within 2 inches of a target using a long piece of metal. Precision is the thing that matters most. You're telling me a guy whose entire life is based around precision is putting socks on while walking down hardwood stairs, slipping and falling the night before the Masters?
No one's perfect.
It's crazy.
Yeah, no one is perfect, but some people are at least cognizant of the idea that the biggest moment of their life is coming up the next day. That's just, it's the most bizarre. It's just.
And where was the handrail in all this?
Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? You couldn't catch yourself on the way. You know what? We've been on this too long. We've been on this far too long. Daryl the Moose Johnston, 3-time Super Bowl winner. He'll bring some levity to the program. He's up in 5. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You know him simply as the greatest of all time. Jerry Rice joining Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Jerry. How's life treating you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everybody doing?
We're doing good. We're feeling good. The Masters is underway. We were curious to know if you had a pick for who's going to win the green jacket.
Man. You know, I really picked Dustin Johnson to win, but he has this back injury right now, so I don't know if he's going to be able to dig down and fight through it and play his best golf, because, you know, I know how difficult it is to have a back injury, and, you know, you can't go out and you just can't give it 100%.
How difficult is it to play at that elite level, Jerry? I know you got to the point where you played in some nationwide tour events when it was the nationwide and scratch golfer and phenomenal. Were you surprised at just the jump you needed to get from as good as you were to being as good as these pros are?
Yes. It's like night and day. Night and day, guys. Because, you know, I was a scratch golfer, but these guys are like, plus 5, plus 6. I think Tiger, he was a plus 7. So he was like a surgeon on the golf course. And it's a significant jump. Their decision-making is just amazing. They do not pick a club until they're ready to hit the golf ball. And as amateurs, you know, the first thing we do, we walk up to the ball, we grab a club, and we start swinging. But, you know, they want to be precise about everything and just great athletes.
Well, Jerry, you're such a great athlete yourself that maybe you could even win into, after you retired, you should have went into the pro golfing tour. You have that type of bravado and that type of hand and eye coordination. You're the greatest. You're the GOAT. Come on, Jerry.
Hey, come on now. You know, you have to know your limitations, okay? That's just like saying I could beat Denzel Washington, all right?
Well, hey, I saw that pop.
Life after football, be an actor. But, you know, I know how skillful, you know, these guys are so skillful. They are just amazing, and you know, they talk all the time about golf not being athletic, and these guys they're not really athletes, but they are. And some of the guys, you know, they go out, you can tell by the way they look on the golf course. You know, they're in shape, and they just pound the ball over 300 yards or more, but then got good touch around the greens and just know how to score and get the ball in the hole. So I know my limitations. I love the game of golf, and, you know, I had a great run in football.
Jerry, let's talk about a sport that you know, and you did it at the top of the level. The San Francisco 49ers, you know, you're a Hall of Famer, all those great things, and you played against this guy. you beat him sometimes, and sometimes you probably looked out there and you're seeing a too deep safety and you said, maybe I'm going to make this a little skinnier, make sure I don't stay out there for Mr. Lynch to touch me. What is John Lynch going to bring to this organization? What can you tell the listeners about him as a player?
I think with John Lynch as a player, what he stood for, what he was able to accomplish on the football field, we have to give John Lynch and also Kyle Shanahan an opportunity. Not saying this is going to happen the first year. Give them a couple of years. You know, I think this team is going to work well together. I really didn't like facing John Lynch on the football field because I knew he was somewhere. He was back there circling somewhere, and I always knew exactly where he was at on the football field. But, you know, he brings a lot of character, good individual. I think, he's going to be able to look at players and be able to judge players and decide if they're going to fit into what the San Francisco 49ers stand for, you know, if they're going to be able to contribute to the team. So I think it's a great team, but we're going to have to be patient and just give them the right opportunity.
Jerry Rice with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You hit the nail right on the head. Patience is going to be the key with any rebuilding project, especially with what the Niners are working with. Kyle Shanahan, however, as a head coach, what do you like about his offense? There are some complexities. There's a lot of movement, a lot of personnel packages. From a wide receiver's perspective, what kind of offense do you think?
You know, just watching him with the Atlanta Falcons, Julio Jones, you know, you get premier wide receiver in here, and I know they just signed Pierre Garçon. He's coming in, and hopefully he can get into the mix. I think they re-signed Curley also. Goodwin is also coming in. So we just need, and I'm not going to say this in a bad way. We need someone that's going to strike fear into the opposing team as a wide receiver. If we can get that individual, if one of those guys can step their game up just a little bit, I think, that offense is really going to work well. But I would love to play in that offense. You know, if I could come back and get back on that football field, which I'm, you know, guys, I'm working really hard right now to get my weight down. So if I hit my mark of 185, that might be a comeback for, Jerry Rice.
Mo's been doing the same thing, Jerry. He's been slimming down as
I'm sure.
Come on, Jerry. Marshawn Lynch, come on, man. Come on, Jerry.
I know you, Lo. It's no way, Lo. It's no way, buddy.
No. Jerry, he's also down to about 186.
Jerry, 220.
Kilos.
Jerry, 225.
Hey, no way he's 186.
Jerry, 245 right now. I'm about 5 pounds off my playing weight. Benching 225 about 42 times. Squatting, running the 40 right now.
We can vouch he's wearing tighter shirts these days.
Watch out, Jay Lover.
So he wants to show it all. He wants to show it all.
Easy, that's Daddy, like easy. Low.
Jerry Rice joining us on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of retirements and comebacks, Marshawn Lynch coming back after some time off. What's the biggest challenge he faces in coming from being in street clothes to getting back on the field?
I think he's 31 now. He's 31. He's been out of football for a second. Maybe he has that itch again, but I would not, count him out. You know, a lot of people are saying that, he's pretty much, he's done. He done taken so much punishment. But maybe if he comes to the Oakland Raiders, that might rejuvenate him, get him going again. I don't see anything wrong with the Raiders going after Marshawn Lynch, and I think he can really help that football team.
Jerry Rice with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Speaking of the Raiders, we'd love to keep the focus on the field, but obviously relocation has been the big story with the franchise. Your thoughts a couple weeks ago when you heard the news that the owners had voted in favor for the Raiders to move to Las Vegas. Emotionally, you played for the Silver and Black. You know this fan base. What were you thinking when you heard that they'd be leaving Oakland?
Well, I was devastated for the fans because the fans are so loyal in Oakland, and I had the opportunity to put on that Silver and Black, and it's something I'll never forget. But, I just felt bad for them. But I guess
with the owners, and this is what I heard. This is what I heard. I think only one owner said no.
Correct,
so,
Miami.
So, Miami. Only one owner said no, but I guess, you know, with the $700 billion that was offered, and I know Ronnie Lott came on board to try to help keep the Raiders here, and it's just unfortunate to see him go, but I'm sure the Raider Nation is going to follow. You know, they're going to come from Oakland. They also going to come from L.A. They're going to go into Las Vegas and support the Oakland Raiders.
How challenging will it be for management to keep players on the straight and narrow going to a city like Las Vegas? Is this something that is definitely going to be a challenge for the Raiders to try to keep their players out of hot water?
Well, yeah, it could be a challenge because, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and there's so much going on and the nightlife. But it's going to be up to that organization to monitor those guys and keep them in check and let them know that, hey, we're here to play football and win, you know, hopefully win championships. You know, I was looking at that stadium. It's going to be amazing. And I'm sure the fans of Las Vegas, they're excited about the Oakland Raiders coming. But, you know, everything is going to be everything is going to be a little exciting for the players. But the players got to realize that, you know, we can't get into trouble. We're here to play football. And if you get into anything, there's going to be consequences.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jerry. I think that this team's going to have to be even more veteran-oriented because veterans kind of been to Vegas. They know what's out there. But you look at teams like Miami still able to win a championship in the NBA. But the biggest to me, besides necessarily nightlife, I think the biggest problem besides the skirts and nightlife is gambling. I've been on planes where the Blu-ray games get up to 50, 60, you know, you've probably seen it too, some big time money. And I think now having those slots or having the tables there, I think that you can get some serious addictions as far as players because, you know, those checks, they're pretty big. And sometimes we don't value the money like we should.
Yeah, you know, I was one of those guys that would always just sit back and watch. I never got involved, you know, with the guys on the plane and all that. And it's just something that was never in my nature. But, you know, some of these guys are going to be tempted, and I think management is going to have to deal with that. You know, and like I said, they're going to have to lay down very strict rules. And if you break those rules, you know, there's going to be consequences or you can lose your job. So these players are going to have to realize that it's about playing football. It's not about going to, you know, these casinos and gambling and doing all that and the nightlife and, you know, popping bottles, doing all that stuff. You know, it's all about playing football and, you know, trying to win a championship.
Jerry Lowe's been trying to rope us into a Bure game with him. We should probably pass on that, shouldn't we?
No. It's like I know my limitations. I'm not a gambler. And I think Lowe, you got to watch out for Lowe.
Wow, Jay, man, Jay Lover.
And Lowe, let him go. I think he's giving good advice here.
I'm giving you love in a good way, okay? You just got to watch out for him because he'll try to sneak you big time. So, no, I'm not going to fall prey to that.
You really are the GOAT, Jerry. I think this cemented right there. The greatest of all time in advice giving.
You let me tell my secrets out, Jerry. You can't do that to your boy. You help me out.
Hey, guys, but I'm really excited about Jared Cook also coming to the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, absolutely. At the tight end position, it gives the offense another weapon.
Oh, my God. You know, with Cooper and Crabtree and all that, and it should be amazing, man. It should be exciting. So I know Derek Carr, he's going to be coming off the injury. He's going to be 100%. I think E.J. Manuel, he signed with the Oakland Raiders, so maybe he can rejuvenate his career, you know, after coming out of Buffalo. So just got to see what exactly is going to happen.
He is the greatest of all time, three-time Super Bowl champ. Follow him on Twitter at Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Jerry, it's always an honor and a pleasure to catch up with you. Thank you for your time. We look forward to doing it again soon.
Okay, hey, Lowe, man, keep losing that weight, man.
No, why don't you go run the hill with Jerry?
That's right.
I'll pass.
Take care, guys.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Raider Nation, 888-957-9570. Marshawn Lynch was in the building yesterday. He was meeting with head coach Jack Del Rio, which was apparently the final hurdle for the organization. Should Del Rio give the okay? It looks as if, according to reports, the team might go forward and sign Marshawn Lynch. Now, many of you will weigh in and say, foreign ball. He's still under contract with the Seahawks. He is. But you've got to figure that behind the scenes, something's been worked out. I mean, honestly, what are the Seahawks going to do? Hold on to him? They have moved forward. There have been plenty of meetings. Lynch met with general manager John Snyder, head coach Pete Carroll, before he started and initiated any of this. So everyone's probably on the same page working behind the scenes. But before we get to that, the latest news. We talked about this a bit earlier. Every breakup, if you've ever been through one, goes through one of three phases to be completed. It's either the guy breaking up with the girl breaking up with the guy, or the guy acting like such a prick, he forces the girl to break up with him. That's my personal favorite. I used that one back in the day. Too much of a coward to actually go through with it myself. Figured I would just be Joe Fortenball times 1.5. She would decide she's had enough, and she'd pull the plug, and that's exactly what she did. And then I was able to enjoy my summer in San Diego. But I digress.
Wow, San Diego.
Yeah, it was when I was in law school. It's the only time I pulled that off. I really didn't do a whole lot of dating in my life.
Wow.
So, pulled that off, but that's one of three options. But all of those options lead to a lot of fallout, and you're starting to see the divorce fallout. Anyone who ever saw the movie The Breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston knows what I'm talking about. Sure, they make light of the situation and it's comedy, but they both go through a lot of necessary steps to make the other one feel like complete crap. She brings other guys around him. He brings other girls around her. We laugh at it, but it's still miserable. And you saw this with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. Right after it looked like they were getting divorced, suddenly you start hearing about Brad Pitt being an abusive father, and it gets ugly. Well, it's starting to get ugly between Oakland and the Raiders. And the latest report from KCBS is that the Raiders owe hundreds of thousands of dollars in parking revenue to the Coliseum Stadium Authority, which puts them in default on their lease and could jeopardize the team's ability to keep playing at the Coliseum. Now, you may ask yourself, interesting timing, considering Mark Davis, the owner, just spoke to JT the Brick a couple days ago here on 95.7 The Game. You might ask yourself, who would leak this information? You might also ask yourself this. They owe so much money. Why wasn't this an issue before? Why is it just becoming an issue now? Dibs, what's happening here? Why is this information coming out? Is this a relationship that's beginning to become more and more toxic by the day?
Well, it's already toxic to the point where they're breaking up, but it's a situation where the Raiders aren't moving out right away, and the city of Oakland isn't forcing them out because they can't. The Raiders have these lease options. This year they're in there, and then they've got, what, 2 1-year lease options to be able to stay there. So if the people of Oakland and the county of Alameda get to the point where they don't want the Raiders so bad, they're going to start finding ways to get this lease broken. And this is the first of what could be a number of different salvos fired in this back and forth between the Raiders and the city and county. If the city and county want to get out of this lease, they're going to go through every possible angle that they can so that they can break the lease with the Raiders and force them out.
So do you think this is more PR, as in we're going to put this out there, show the Raiders are in debt, put them in a bad light, and get people to side with us, and then obviously this will get rectified? Or do you think it's, we honestly want them out now? They're leaving? Beat it. We're going to try to force you out and put you in a bad spot for 2017.
I think it's the latter.
Really?
Yeah, I think PR-wise, this can be seen as either side. It's a he said, she said, depending on who you believe. But the very fact that the Raiders have spurned Oakland to go to Las Vegas, and I won't blame the Raiders for spurning Oakland and the county of Alameda for the sake of this argument, because Oakland for 20 years now has done nothing to try to keep the Raiders and build them a new stadium. That's a fact. The Raiders have chosen Las Vegas. The league's given them the okay. So the city of Oakland and the county of Alameda and the Joint Powers Authority, they're the spurned part of this arrangement. The Raiders are leaving them. And so if you're the one being left, right, they're the one, the Raiders are the ones doing the breaking up. They're the ones saying, we found another woman. It's Las Vegas. We're going there. We're leaving you. So when you're the one who's spurned and broken, you're going to act in this fashion.
Oh, you're going to burn the jungle down.
You're going to try and burn it. You're not going to say, oh, that's okay, sweetheart. Why don't you live here for 3 more years, and I'll hold your hand, and I'll hold your hair back when you're throwing up in the toilet and all that stuff. I'll be here for you. No, it's not what you do when you're the jilted lover. You try to get back at them. You either burn their clothes, you break your pictures, you slash their tires. Depends on how far down
they're. Dibs. Dibs.
We don't need no water.
Thank God you only ever had one girlfriend and you married her.
Let the mother fathers burn.
Burn.
Mother fathers burn. And Lo, that's if you're the jilted one, Lo, and in this case, Oakland feels and the County of Alameda and the JPA, they feel like they're the jilted one because the Raiders are leaving them, so they're going to act out in this malicious manner. Whether or not it's true that the Raiders owe $800,000 or not, that's yet to be determined, but this is what how the city's going to react.
An audit by the authority, this is KCBS again, discovered that the Raiders have been making only minimum payments since at least 2013 and owe an estimated $25,000 more per game since then, which could total more than $800,000. Lo, Dib said this earlier. The truth is generally somewhere in the middle. You have the he said, the she said, and then the truth, which is going to be right around the middle. Bits and pieces from both. What do you think's happening here?
Well, Joe, my dad always told me, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And you know what? The Raiders got the gun now. And you look at what happened. You follow the train, you know, you follow the events over 20-some years ago that promised the stadium. And unfortunately, the economy, whatever it might have been, city said, we're not going to do it. So they haven't gotten a stadium for 20 years. So for 20 years, I've been asking. 20 years, my answer's been no. The answer from your mom's been no. Eventually, you're going to say, all right, I'm 20 years old now. I'm 18, I'm 19, okay, now I'm 20. You know what? I'm just going to move out and go buy my own, get my own car, get my own house. I'm going to go get it on my own then. And the Raiders got that. And now it's now you see the fallout. So when you look at it and you say, okay, we're up in the lease. You know, you went to L.A. to try to make it happen. You got slapped in the face and sitting back home with your tail tucked between your leg. You come to the city and say, hey, Mom, I'm 18, but you know what? I found out I couldn't qualify for that apartment. Can I move back home? Yeah, you're going to move back home, but now I'm going to double your rent, triple your rent, from $900,000 to $3.5. Well, I'm going to go try to find a place, and then if I can go to another city and the people tell me, you know what? I'm going to let you rent for free, and I'm going to help you raise some money. I'm going to give you a job. Yeah, people might be mad, but you got to, as a business, I don't care, every single fan, if they're in Mark Davis's position, I don't care. They would do what he did. It's not a fan. They can lie and say, oh, I would have did this and did that and the other. If someone is going to write you a check for how much? $700 million, Joe? What is it that they're getting?
I'm sorry. Actually, $950, sorry. I'm $750 for the stadium and $200 for improvements.
$950 million.
Yeah.
What do you do, Joe? Did
you leave? But and Lo, you're absolutely right, and that's why I say
two wrongs don't make a right. I get it.
If the Raiders want to go to Vegas, go to Vegas. Congratulations, the stadium looks gorgeous. It'll be fun to go there, et cetera, et cetera. But in the meantime, 2017, 2018, 2019, you can't expect the city of Oakland and the JPA and the county to sit there and, oh, yeah, we'll be here for you. And then when it's time for you to go, we're going to throw you this big going away party and we're going to buy you a plane ticket to Las Vegas.
But I'm still, even though you maybe you're mad at me because I'm leaving you, but you still got your hand out and I'm still feeding you. So be careful when you say, I just kick them out.
But are you feeding me? If you owe $800,000, if you're shorting me on the parking?
Well, you got to take that. You got to look at it and say, okay, is it really what it appears to be? I think the truth is somewhere like Joe and like you said is somewhere in the middle. But I'm pretty sure there's it's not all that meet the eye.
I'm almost
positive.
Of course, of course. And that's I think what everyone's been emphasizing. But how much uglier is this going to get? Because you know what? Lost in all of this is that there's going to be a football season coming up. This isn't the Raiders from 10 years ago. This is a Raiders team that at some point, we're going to start talking about personnel. We're going to start talking Super Bowl odds, and we're going to start talking the likely competition in their way for an AFC championship. This nonsense is going to keep coming out. The city's not going to stop, and I'm sure the team isn't going to stop either. So how bad a distraction is this going to be? Start with this. Will the Raiders be playing at the Coliseum in 2017, or is the city going to succeed in getting them thrown out beforehand?
The city's, honestly, it's smoke and mirrors. You might talk that, but you want that money. And where is it going to come from right now? You better get your money, pay these things, because you got a lot of civic duties you got to pay for. One, I think that Mr. Carr should step up now. I really believe that he's a guy that everyone loves in this city. He's a guy that the city respects. I don't care who you are, you respect him. Maybe don't believe in all the things he believes in, but
he's earned the respect.
Yes.
Performance on the field, leadership, good human being. There's no way to not at least respect Derek Carr right now.
Yeah, and he needs to take Rodney King's line and stand up and have a press conference and say, can't we all get along? Honestly, I mean, Joe, I'm serious.
Well, maybe come up with your own line.
Okay, but Dibs, honestly, if he can just say, Mr. Davis, the owner, I understand, but I would like for this, just let us now play football. The city and understand ownership is not getting along, but can't we just let this go? Let bygones be. Not let it.
This is a very polarizing subject. You've seen what happened with Raider Nation. This show itself has dealt with both sides of this equation.
I agree, but here's the thing, Joe. At the end of the day, the kids are the one getting hurt, and right now that's your product. So just tell the both. I understand. You can hate me, but just respect me. And right now, both these sides need to hush. Understand you're going to keep paying the bills, do the things you need to do. But now we got to say, look, why are you trying to, why are we going to keep this thing fresh, you know, brewing, and just say, I understand, I have malice in my heart, all those different things on both sides. Because I'm not condoning both sides, but at the same sense, someone needs to step up and say, man, let it go. Take care of themselves. Now you're affecting us and you're affecting our fan base. We want to go win ball games for the city and the organization. I think a guy like Carr can kind of sue this over.
I'd keep him out of it. I mean, this is too much of a hot topic. He needs to just focus on, you know, completing passes and doing what he does best. I know what you're saying, and you're right on the surface, but I wouldn't want my star quarterback in this mess at all.
More on this with the great Jerry Rice in about 30 minutes at 8:30. Next up, the D-Train, Dontrell Willis, A's, Giants, baseball, and more. Who's the face of Major League Baseball? Think about that for a second. We're back in a flash. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.